This is iFaith 44 from Colossians. I have entitled it, Gracious Speech and an Electric Ruler. You probably have never heard of an electric ruler. Well, that's because you weren't there when I was a five-year-old. More about that soon. In our last lesson, entitled Christ on a Computer Card, we looked at Paul's admonition to us to be as serious about helping each other spiritually as he was. We looked at the ancient city of Colossae, where Christians were distracted by philosophy, by resurgent Judaism, legalism, even angel worship. And Paul tells us three times to warn, to teach, and to present. Just as he warns everyone, he wants to teach everyone and present everyone mature, that is, perfect in Christ. Today, the focus changes. In the previous lesson, we're looking more at insiders, how we relate to each other, how we help each other to grow. Today, we'll be focusing on outsiders, and particularly words, what we say, because words have power to heal or to harm, to hurt or to help. I know this painfully from my own experiences. Not so much hard things said to me, though that's happened, but it's the things I regret, the things I've said to others. If you look at the podcast at my website, I did on control. It's actually three podcasts. But in the first one, you'll see lots of examples of words that hurt. Words can hurt or heal. They can mend or they can wound. They can harm or they can help. And I think it's worth taking some time today to look at this. Our passage is chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I think we can see there are many possible messages just from this paragraph, just from these five verses. But we'll be focusing more on the end. Espresso. Proclamation. Paul speaks of the need to proclaim clearly, and to proclaim graciously. And perhaps if I were doing a full-length sermon from Colossians 4, those would be my points. That's the way I would structure it. But let's look at those first few verses before we get to the heart of this talk. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. Prayer is so important, not just to bring us close to God or to give us insight into his word, but prayer softens, maybe we could even say sweetens our words. It helps us to represent Christ better. It gives us more likelihood of being gracious and speaking not from our own opinions or energy or emotion, but more from, well, what God's word says, to be the way Christ would be. Paul recognizes that Christ is in control. He's a prisoner. He asked them to pray that God will open a door so that he can proclaim. Now, Paul proclaimed many years of his life, actually, in jail. He was imprisoned a number of times, and a couple of those imprisonments were in the years. They were not short. And yet he believed he could serve God outside prison as well. He is in these chains. He says, pray I may proclaim the mystery of Christ. And this is the mystery of Christ, is that God's chosen people in the first covenant, the Jews, through them and their scripture and their example, and through the ultimate Jewish person, Jesus Christ, who fulfills the law, through them, all the world, the Gentiles, Jews and non-Jews alike, would be united together, and God's wisdom would be made known in the universe. It's an amazing mystery. And for that, he is in chains because of his insistence on being evangelistic. Well, this is a beautiful passage. But let's focus on our text for today. He says, pray I may proclaim it clearly as I should. And then he says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. Paul never asks people to do what he's unwilling to do. He's praying that he'll use his opportunities and that God will give him more. And he asks that the Colossians also be wise toward outsiders and speak and proclaim Christ. And that's important. Proclamation is not just for leaders. It's something that we all do, regardless of our age in Christ. I guess the question is, what are we proclaiming? Are we proclaiming Christ, or are we implicitly proclaiming, as long as you're religious, it's okay, you don't need to talk about Christ? Well, what about that electric ruler? When I was a five-year-old, one of our babysitters talked to me about school. I was soon going to be entering first grade. I began the first grade just a few weeks after I turned six. And she warned me that I needed to be well-behaved, because otherwise the principal would hit me with an electric ruler. Now, there's no such thing as an electric ruler, but five-year-olds don't know that. Now, this is the principal. This is a picture. As we're downsizing and packing up as we move back to Europe, I came across this photograph from first grade. I'm here, and there's the principal. And as I recall, his name is Strater. I was a bit intimidated anyway when I met him, because he looked a lot like, well, someone on a TV show called the FBI. And it didn't help that our babysitter said, if you're out of line, he will hit you with an electric ruler. Well, this was back in the days when corporal punishment was totally okay. Probably I needed it more. But that definitely, I remember that conversation all these decades later. She shouldn't have said that. It wasn't true that I would be. You know, when we think of authorities, whether it's a teacher or a policeman or a principal or the government, as using torture, hopefully they don't. But if that's our view, then it's hard for that not to be projected onto God. If that's how our parents are with us, then that shapes our concept of God. Well, Paul says, don't do that. When you're trying to make your point, be full of grace. Obviously, we have to speak the truth also. And he says that it should be seasoned with salt, so that we will know how to answer everyone. Salt. Outsiders. You may say, well, how do I know who's an insider or an outsider? Okay, God's the judge, but usually it's not that hard to know. You look at people's behavior. Jesus said, by the fruit you'll know them, right? In Matthew 7:20. Their love for the Lord. You have this thing in common. It's not just we're fellow humans, but we're living for God passionately. He says that we take care of opportunities. We all have opportunities. And we either plant seeds, that is, we have part of a conversation. We don't present everything we could present, but there's a seed. Or already the seed is growing in somebody, and we can water, we can encourage. We see this language. I'm referring to the imagery of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the growth. When we're just planting seeds, we mustn't push too hard. Many people aren't ready to hear a long presentation of the gospel. You know, we would move from the incarnation all the way to the second coming and hit everything in between. They're just not ready for that. That's probably most people. But we still can be planting a kind of seed by living as Christ lived, trying to live graciously. And yet without being verbal, without saying something, it's not quite the same. The word is compared to seed in the parable of the soils in Luke 8, Matthew 13, Mark 4. And so if something of the word is preached, then there can be something that will grow. So I'm not against just being pleasant to everyone. You don't always have to try to share the message. But planting seeds, that really leads to something. And then watering, that's encouraging, giving people something to think about. It's not maybe correcting everything they say, because many people, regardless of their age, have opinions, and sometimes quite confident opinions, usually inversely proportional to knowledge. The less people know about something, the more confident they seem to be. It's like to compensate. And we mustn't react to that, overreact to that. But we use opportunities, and opportunities means we have to be strategic. If we know we have very little time, but we meet somebody, we should be prepared. We're prepared. We know what we might say. or we already have our name and number on a card so we can follow up and ask them for their details. But strategy is so important. And then just conversation. So we're wise towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. And third is just the conversation. Beginning with, well, how about starting a conversation? It's amazing. A lot of people will say nothing. If you sit to them next to them, maybe you're on a bus or a plane, and you say nothing, they'll say nothing, and nothing happens. So we have to be friendly. And even just looking people in the eye makes it a lot easier to have a conversation. Now, people often say hello if you just say hello, and that's all you need. You've started. But we need to converse. Christians are not to be silent. Let our conversation be full of grace. That means we need to be careful about our tone, not coming across argumentative. Paul warns about this in the end of 2 Timothy 2, the second half of 2 Timothy 2. So important in evangelism. The gospel is not a weapon. The Bible is not a club. We don't bludgeon people over the head with the club any more than we would use the electric ruler on the bottom of a disobedient first grader. Just let it be seasoned with salt. Salt, which preserves. Salt, which enhances flavor, which actually makes us remember things more easily, whether it's a negative thing, a threat from the babysitter, or it was someone who was kind to us, who ministered to us at a hard time, just said some kind words. And then the suitable response, the strategy again, that we are ready to speak. We do it graciously and with salt. And then we realize that people are different. We're not going to have the same approach to everybody, but we will know how to answer everyone. And I think what Paul's saying is if we pray and we're alert and we take advantage of opportunities, then we'll be able to engage with people as they are. This is such an important passage. I hope that it's encouraging to you today, or if it's late in the day, tomorrow, to be wise in the way, the way I act toward outsiders. To be gracious, to be salty in a good way, and to know how to respond to everybody. Our next lesson will be going to the letter of Philemon. And this was written and at the same time as Colossians, maybe delivered by the same person who delivered Colossians, so it seems. And the title of that video sermon is The Runaway Slave. So see you next time. Thank you for listening.